And are there any tolerability issues with these agents?
There are some signals. They can cause a change in the level of bilirubins, but predominantly in folks that have perhaps a predisposition, such as those who have a Gilbert's type syndrome. And elevated bilirubin does not seem to have additional sequela, at least in the initial studies that has looked at it. For the most part, they're well tolerated. There isn't a substantial emptying of the marrow, a decrease in blood counts. The one challenge that I always like to highlight when we talk about IDH1 and IDH2 inhibitors is the potential for differentiation and differentiation syndrome, which, because of its pulmonary manifestations in particular, can have life-threatening implications.
What about efficacy? What's seen with these two agents?
Well, the rate of remission is around 20-something percent. The rate of overall response, which includes partial remissions and morphologic leukemia-free state, in addition to complete remissions, is around 40-something percent, and many patients have stable disease. So a sizable proportion of patients that are treated have some degree of response to treatment.
Are these agents you would like to have in practice now?
Well, I could only speak for myself. I've been part of a group of folks that have been investigators on these trials, and I think they have significant promise. And I do believe that personally, I would like to have IDH inhibitors available to us for their use, yeah.
I have heard cases of people, you know, cases described to me of people who receive these agents who seem to have very useful responses. Has that been your experience?
Yeah. We have seen patients who have responded and have responded for months, have gone back to their lives, have had normal counts, have not had needs to come to the clinic recurrently for transfusions. There's dramatic and important responses. The other thing about IDH inhibitors that we should think about is that the responses take time. Again, I mean, it could be a matter of weeks to months before you actually see some activity.
This comes up in oncology so often with new agents. You know, have some where you add it to something else, chemotherapy. Sometimes it's hard to figure out. But, you know, when you see a relatively non-toxic oral agent that you can see is causing useful responses, when clinicians hear about that, they want to use it.
Yeah.
I guess there are other regulatory issues, though, huh?
What you're saying is very much happening as we speak. I mean, pretty much everything is being combined with hypomethylating agents. I'm obviously exaggerating a bit, but you have antibody drug conjugates, you have venetoclax, you have IDH inhibitors, you have a whole host of different targeted therapies being combined with hypomethylating agents for use in older patients or those folks who do not tolerate intensive upfront strategies. So I agree. I mean, I think hypomethylating agents are generally well tolerated, so in that way, they're probably optimized for combination therapy.